This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com. Welcome to the Cottage Talk post-match show. I'm Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Max Cohen and Steve Lydiard. This is our show about the 1-1 draw for Fulham against Newcastle United. We did a full-time show, Emilio and I. Well, now I'm joined by Max, who was very vocal in his messages during our show there, so I'm sure he's going to share some of that with us today. And Steve Lydiard, who happens to be a ref, so it's always good when we have controversial calls to have Steve on. But I'm going to start with you, Max. Over to you. Thoughts on the 1-1 draw?
Yeah, I think everyone's going to talk about the refereeing, and that's a massive part of it. You know, the more I look at it, the more I'm completely befuddled by how that's a penalty on Callum Wilson. I think it's clear that the contact stops outside of the box, and Wilson does a great job of selling it, but
Mark's
supposed to cut that out. And
yeah,
I mean, people are angry at Graham Scott, and I think they have every right to be, but he wasn't shown any angle except the one angle which we saw, and it was a terrible angle. So it's a systemic failure.
I definitely want to talk about that, Max. I'm glad that you brought that up. And again, I don't want this show to be all about these decisions, because we have to talk about Fulham and what they didn't do to win this match, because I have a good analogy that I'll use a little bit later. But what's interesting about VAR, at least in this situation, has it been confirmed that he only had one angle, Max? Because again, we had several different angles to this. Did he only get one angle to this? And if that's the case, why are they not showing the ref multiple angles?
Yeah, I mean, all I know is what I saw on the television broadcast. It kind of showed what Graham Scott saw as he walked over to the monitor, and it didn't look like he saw the most convincing angle that I was seeing on social media afterwards. So almost in the moment, I was okay with the penalty because I saw what he saw. And then they show, I see on Twitter and WhatsApp, whatever, and it's much clearer to me that it was a penalty. But you're right, it's not all about the refs. And I think this week is going to be looked upon a lot come May, because it started off with that amazing performance against Liverpool.
Yep.
And I think that completely sapped us, to be honest. And, you know, giving up that late goal sapped us as well in the Liverpool match, because everything from there on out has just not been good enough. The Brighton match, that 0-0 was honestly pathetic, and I think that's a big 2 points dropped come the end of the season. And we go away to St. James's Park with a team that's, you know, Newcastle's been racked by COVID, so they didn't have the full squad available. They just came off a 5-2 thrashing in midweek, and we should have won this match. Newcastle created very little outside of the penalty.
Absolutely. And
the thing that saddens me is that we came out of that stretch of Leicester, City, Liverpool with more points than anyone ever could have considered. But you go to the must-win matches, and I think that has to be Brighton home, Newcastle away. We didn't show up the way we showed up against Leicester, against Liverpool. And that's some questions of the squad have to be asked, because we need to win the matches against the teams around us. We have not shown that yet. I mean, we only have 2 wins all season. And I'm just going to get a bit more pessimistic now, because I'm rueing these points dropped. And Mitrovic played, wasn't fully fit, didn't look like it. We created some chances, but the goal was a bit fortunate. it needs to be a lot better. And it just puts pressure on us is the main thing for me, because you look at the match against Burnley, the 3rd of January, right? You look at the match in the second half of the season. Because we failed to win these crucial matches in the first half of the season, there's going to be so much pressure on us in the second half of the season. And we're making it hard on ourselves. We just need to win these matches, and we didn't. And we have another tough run of fixtures. Southampton, Spurs, Chelsea, United, we all have to play in the next 5 or so matches. We need more big performances, but we have to win the match against the teams around us again, and the squad didn't do that.
No, they did not, Max. And, you know, and again, some very good points. I'm going to share my thoughts in just a bit, but I want to go to Steve. Steve, your thoughts on what Max shared, and give me your opening thoughts on the 1-1 draw.
I'm pretty much the same as Max. You know, it's going to be useful getting points off the bigger teams and stuff like that, but ultimately the season's going to be decided among the teams like Newcastle, Brighton, Burnley, you know, West Brom's, and those are the worlds. And if we're not picking up points there, or we're losing narrowly, drawing, not scoring enough, and then conceding, do you know what I mean, drawing games, that's what's going to be our downfall. We've seen a lot lately, and probably a lot of teams have seen, that we're capable of staying up now. But if you go to Liverpool, get a draw, or so you get a draw home to Liverpool, and then you go and sort of, you know, drawing with Newcastle, or for example, going losing a return leg, do you know what I mean? It's just not going to work. You're going to end up down the bottom. Something's got to change, whether that be the recruitment, whether we get a couple, you know, a few players in that can make the difference, 2 or 3 players probably that can make the difference, maybe a striker, maybe another fullback, you know, will Tetti be back soon, hopefully. Possibly a third centre back if we're looking to go with the 3 option, because Aina, you know, I actually like Aina going forward, but at the back he is a bit of a liability. We can't afford those errors, that one error, that one costly error, and that's it. But at the same time, it's not all his fault, because had we put the chances in up the other end, 2-3, 4-0, you know, there you go, boom, you know, we're that goal means nothing, the red card means nothing.
Right.
Going back to that, I mean, it is a red card. Either way you look at it, it's going to be a red card. The question is a penalty or not. Now, the holding stops outside the box, which is what I was a bit annoyed about.
Yep.
But apparently it's given for the step or the trip, accidental trip on the guy's heel. Now, I personally don't like that. We, as a referee, we have to enforce that, because it's not a genuine attempt for the ball. However, you can clearly see it's accidental. That's the part of it that I don't like. Okay. We have to enforce it, but I don't like it. So it was always going to be a red card. It was always a penalty or not. Clearly, there's some sort of contact there, so it has to be. And it's on the line, which counts as a, you know, counts as in the area. But it's really harsh to get a penalty, a red card, you know, change the game. They score it. You know, it's really, really harsh for an accidental collision. But that's the way it is, isn't it? Until the lawmakers will change that, you know, obviously us as referees have to implement that. So Graham Scott, in the end, has actually got it spot on.
Interesting that you say that, because I've watched this back several times and I didn't see the trip. Maybe you saw something I didn't see, Steve. I saw plenty of angles on this. I'm talking about the step. I see what you're saying on that. And someone actually recently sent me a screenshot on it, but I saw several angles and I didn't see that. But again, you are a ref and I trust your judgment on that. But going back to both of what you guys said, I understand where you guys are coming from. And my thoughts on the match, again, I'm very proud of this team. And I said this on Full Time, and I just want to stress this again. To go down to 10 men and to still look like you're going to try to score when you're down a man, I think is a step in the right direction. Most teams would have just sat back. Fulham didn't sit back until the very end. And I think they tired out a little bit, and then the last 10 minutes were very nervy. But I like Fulham's approach when they went down a man. I like their approach for the majority of the match. Was it passive at times? Maybe. But I thought they were the better side. The issue I have with them, you know, and again, I want to give them full praise. This is the problem, and this is something that Emilio and I talked about, because when you only score that one goal, guys, and you're on the road, you are leaving yourself open to these types of situations. If they took their opportunities and scored, they wouldn't be where we are today. And the best analogy I can give you is if you're watching a boxing match and you're facing the champion, and you have to knock the champion out, right? You have to know, you don't want it to go to a decision. That's what this is. You don't want it to go to VAR. You don't want it to go to a referee decision. You need to score more than one goal. Give yourself that leeway so it doesn't come down to this. So Fulham had their opportunities in the first half, And then, of course, as Emilio said to me, when you look back at the penalty, it actually does start with Aina. So, and again, I'm not trying to really get on him, but his mistake leads to all of this. So we do have to talk about that. We'll talk about that when we break down both the halves. But I said in full time, you know, that Fulham deserved all 3 points. Yes, I still feel that based on the play, but they, again, left themselves open and to these opportunities to not take advantage of these opportunities to be in the situation where a ref, VAR, can change the match, Steve. What are your thoughts on what I just shared?
Not too much, really, Russ, but just going with the VAR side, I think the problem we've got at the moment, and it might come in time because it is relatively new and they're probably not overly, you know, comfortable doing it, but whereas in rugby they have, you know, when they have those particular decisions, I mean, you can always hear the referee. I'm not sort of advocating that in football, but when you go to these major decisions, it would be nice to actually hear what's going on.
I totally agree with that.
Just to find out what they're discussing. What, you know, what was okay? Tell me this, tell me that.
We have no idea what they're discussing
exactly. And then we have to, you know, everyone sort of gets irate on social media, and then we have to find out through a third party exactly what's been going on. Just communicate at the time if you want it to be about the fans, about the viewing, and making it, you know, like it is, you know, sort of the elite game. You need to have that moment where you're clearly communicating with the fans. You know, we get told at our level that we don't commute, and it's not the referee's fault at all in this, because that's just how they need to do VAR, like rugby. But we get told at our level, if we don't communicate to the crowd what decision you're making, you're causing confusion. Well, that's exactly what happened yesterday.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go back to you, Steve, and then I'll go to Max, because, again, the show's not going to be all about these decisions, but talking about the ref, and you are a ref, Steve, and tell me your thoughts on this. I think part of this is just my opinion. The decisions that have been made, I'll go back to Andre Mariner and maybe the ref in this match, who, Steve, also mocked one of our players. Steve, a ref mocked one of our players. Did you see this? Did you see him mocking Lamina? That to me is uncalled for. Did you see this at the end of the match?
This is interesting. Okay. Because having done it, you obviously referee myself. You go out there game a game. You put up with a hell of a lot out there.
Okay.
And if you say one thing that they don't like, oh, you know, you can't say that. You know, you can't say that to me. Well, hang on a minute. You've been giving it large the last 90 minutes.
Okay.
So to be fair, you know,
if
you're going to dish it out, you've got to be able to take it.
I cannot believe this.
Okay.
If you dish it out, you've got to be able to take it.
Maybe otherwise, on Sunday league, Premier League refs have to hold a higher standard than that.
Oh, right, Steve, right, right.
Yeah, but there's standard, and then there's someone dishing out to you for 90 minutes, and they can't take a little cheeky comment back about their passing or something. Well, you know, you're in the wrong business.
You never would have saw that with a big club, though. They could do it to Fulham, because they don't think very much of us.
Yeah.
Never done that to United, Liverpool.
Okay. But, Steve, this is what I really want to talk to you about is, as a ref, and this is on a different level because this deals with VAR, do you think that some refs, and I said Andre Mariner and the ref from last night, are unwilling to change the decision after looking at VAR, partially because they don't want to admit fault, ego, pride? Do you think that is coming into it? Because I think it is. I think that they are unwilling to change a decision, even if they see it.
No, because it's ultimately the decision that they get judged on. It will be a simple box tick. They've made the right call. They haven't made the right call. I don't know if they're being shown the right angles.
Okay, and that's another thing. Are they being shown all the angles? And that's what we're talking about.
That, for example, that angle, there was only one replay, one angle that clearly showed the Liverpool player go through the Fulham guy's foot to get the ball. Now, from what I could see that they were watching, that wasn't the angle they were looking at. So, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, the guys at the top, correct me if I'm wrong, but are you showing the right angles for the referees to make the calls? They can only make the calls on what they're shown. And if it's a poor angle, it's not the right angle, then what are they supposed to do?
Okay, I hear you. Max, your thoughts on all of this, you know, and again, we're just going to talk about it now. We'll talk about it a little bit when we talk about the first and second half, but thoughts on our discussion about the refs?
Well, I just agree with Ross in terms of I don't see the trip at the edge of the box. I think that's what people are pointing to as a decision, but I just didn't see it. I think it was a dive by Wilson up to that point. He wanted to make sure it continued into the box.
I didn't see an angle where Anderson, you know, trod on him. But again, that's the issue.
Neither did I, Max. I said I didn't see it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Okay. You're talking about you disagree with Steve. Okay.
Yeah. Is it clear and obvious, though?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think,
that's the thing.
This is a larger thing.
You've got to overturn it.
The fact that we're sat here on a Sunday night discussing did he trod on the foot, was it an angle? It's not the game we love, and
no.
I'm not anti-VAR, you know, per se, but it shouldn't be like this, you know. And VAR was brought in to take the stuff out of the game. We didn't have to dissect, oh, was he offside, was he onside? And it's made it in many ways very worse. The other thing I have to say is, you know, we talk about Aina in the lead up to the goal. Let's talk about Anderson. I point the finger massively at Anderson in the situation. You have to be smarter. Because worst case scenario is exactly what happened. He did the worst thing. Concede a penalty, get sent off, lead to a goal. All three went against us. Yep. I think if I'm Anderson, I know it's not easy in the moment. You say, listen, let Wilson go. Areola's had a good match. Leave it up to the one-on-one chance. It's not a guaranteed goal. It's probably a 75% chance of a goal.
Right.
But I'll stay on the pitch. We'll have 11 men. And you know, we probably fancy ourselves to go out and win the match based on the way we've been playing. It's a silly tug. And yes, it's not a penalty, but he left it up to the ref and he let them make that decision. You have to be smarter if you're going to be, you know, the big name center back that we signed. That's an error. That's a big error. And he'll be out for, I reckon, 3 matches because I can't see it being overturned. Because what's the point of overturning if it's already been looked at VAR? So that's very tough in my opinion. Yeah, and as Steve mentioned, actually, it was a red card whether it happens inside or outside the box. So there's really no chance of that being reduced to any one match. Or so it's going to be 3.
Where are you getting 3 matches from, just out of interest?
Well, isn't a red card automatic 3-match ban? Or no?
Well, that's as far as I'm aware. I mean, I don't get into the sort of ins and outs of what the disciplinary procedure is. As far as I'm aware, violent conduct is a minimum of 3 games, but obviously they can increase it depending on severity.
Right.
For that red card, I think, don't hold me to it, I think it's 1 match. That's, for example, second yellow card, 1 match. That, you know, for me, that I think it's a 1 match. Don't hold me to it, but I don't think it's a 3-match ban.
Okay. And there's still some question about that. And I'm sure Fulham are going to appeal. I believe Scott Parker said that, but
it's pointless. Don't appeal it. It's pointless.
That's what a friend of mine in Spain said. It's pointless. It's not going to be overturned. But
absolutely not.
Okay. Okay. Very good, guys. All right. Let's move on. And let's just get to your biggest takeaway from this match. We've obviously focused on the decisions here. But what do you take away from this match? Steve, over to you first.
I'm going to come a half glass full kind of guy.
Really?
Yeah. No, sorry, half empty, sorry.
Now I'm disappointed.
No, just a little round what we were saying at the beginning of the game, Max started on. At the end of the day, you have to be looking at these games and getting the 3 points. Yes, okay, the game changed on the red card, but that is our own mistake. We haven't taken our chances. Yep. We can't keep saying, oh, we're playing well, or we're getting a draw, or we're narrowly losing, or we're doing this. We can lose every game 2-1, 1-0 and play really, really well. That isn't going to keep us in the league. You have to pick up points. We've had a slow start. We had an awful start. We know that. Picked up a few good points against the big teams, but we're already playing catch-up. And then you still can't beat the teams around you. We're playing even more catch-up at the end of the day. Yeah, we're not too far back. But when you think about how many games you played, nearly a third of the season, and we're barely into double figures. Yes, I know there's quite a few teams down there on that, but that's just not good enough.
Okay. Max, over to you. Your biggest takeaway from this match.
Well, I was going to go a bit pessimistic, but Steve did that for me. So I'll go on the other end, and I agree 100% with what Steve said. But I think we have to look at the defense, and I have, you know, gone and slated Anderson and Aina, but we don't concede from open play anymore. And, you know, I've said this after the match, but
that's right.
We didn't look at all threatened, even after Newcastle were the man up. You know, we got Newcastle really poor. That's what makes this really frustrating, is because they looked awful, guys. Like one of the worst teams I've seen play Fulham all season. They offered nothing. And just such a negative style of play at home. I would not be surprised if they got sucked down. But, you know, apart from that, look at the Liverpool match. They only scored through a penalty. City scored through a penalty and, you know, got a goal off, you know, early. But I think the defense is just night and day what it was early in the season. And that's such an asset when you can go play matches away. And even against the big sides, you know, conceding 1 against Leicester, 2 against City, 1 against Liverpool, clean sheet against Brighton. We're just solid at the back, and that's such an asset which we cannot underestimate. in a relegation fight, I think the number one thing you have to do is be solid at the back. The goals, as we mentioned, are an issue, but rather be a Fulham than a Leeds, who we've all seen are leaking goals like fun. Our goals conceded, I think it's 23, and there are, I think, three or four clubs who actually have conceded more than us, which is a very alien position for us to be in the league, considering what we've done the last couple times when in the top flight. So that's what my takeaway is, that even in matches when they're down to 10 away from home, yep, the defense looks solid. And I think a lot of that also comes down to the play of Lamina and Anguissa.
Yes.
The holding midfielders are superb. And I think that's another big bonus.
Okay, very good.
For us, can I add into that? I messaged a friend of mine earlier and I said, I cannot believe your team is going to have the best stadium next year. This is going down to the Championship. Who am I talking of?
Arsenal.
Arsenal. Oh. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine it, surely, but something's got to change there.
I can't imagine that. I actually was just on another podcast talking about Arsenal and they wanted me to answer should Arteta be sacked, and we had a whole discussion on it. And I thought of Scott Parker, brand new manager. But do you really think that Arsenal is going to be down there the entire season? Do you really think so?
Right now, if Arteta stays, I'm not saying it's his fault at all. Yeah. But if he stays, at the moment, they're only going one way. They're heading down towards the bottom of the league. I mean, where are they? Just above us.
So, they are. They're not
literally
that far.
And we're showing a bit more fight than they are. The teams around us are showing a bit more fight. Even West Brom is showing a little bit more fight. I know they've just lost 3-0, but they had a red card as well, I think. So possibly not. I'm not sure. It might have got overturned. But there's a lot of teams showing a lot of fight, and they've not got too much.
That's right, Steve. And that goes to my biggest takeaway. And like I've already mentioned, I want to focus on after the red card and after the penalty and the match changes, because it's one thing, as Max said, to be solid, and we are solid, and we're not giving away any goals from open play. That's fantastic. All good stuff. The mettle of a team in a situation like they were put under, like I said, most teams would just hunker down. That was not what we watched, guys. And it just showed me that not only do they have the defense going in the right way, I think they also have the ambition to win matches, because like I said, I think it's easy to just go in a shell and not do anything, but it takes another side of you. And as Parker's always said, we need to see another side. He was talking about the defensive side, but you also have to have the other side of going forward. Even when you're down a man, to have that type of, fortitude to go forward like that, to believe in yourself, to be confident in yourself. And they did that, guys. And that, to me, is my biggest takeaway, is the end of that match. After Newcastle equalizes and Fulham were still trying to push for a winner, that, to me, is extremely encouraging. That's where I'm going on that.
We still need strikers, though. Because
I agree with you. I'm seeing all the comments of people
commenting.
You're quite
toothless.
I agree.
You're quite toothless.
I totally agree with all that. I'm just saying the players that were out there, we're looking to score the winning goal
instead of keeping
the point, Steve. That's a mindset, Steve.
Yeah, it's just a bit of quality we need, really. Just a bit.
Exactly.
I mean,
but they have the mindset, and I think that's huge.
Yeah, well, January's coming up, so, you know, we'll see what we do, see what we can do in January. Because this could be the difference between keeping us up and not just going forward. We're fine at the back now.
I'm not going to disagree with you, Steve. I'm actually going to agree with you, which probably kills you that I'm going to agree with you. But I am going to agree with you, Steve. All right. Let's now talk about the starting 11, because this has a couple of different layers, guys. Because I want to ask you, and Max, I'll go to you. First thoughts when you saw the starting 11, and then later on, before the match began, when you learned of the change.
Yeah, a big thing was Mitrovic was back. Putting to bed any conspiracy theories about him having a falling out with Parker. It looks to me like it's a fitness thing, because let's be honest, I think he had a pretty mediocre match, not up to his usual standards, but I think he's still working his way up to full fitness. So that's my take on the situation. Of course, Kearney comes back in for Loftus-Cheek, and we're going to see Bobby Decadovery drop out for Cavallero, but then Cavallero pulled out late on, so Deco'd overread slotted back in there. And that, to me, I don't know. I would have probably liked to see Kamara actually start from the off in this situation.
Oh, I don't know.
I think it could have been a good match for him because as Evan was saying, as Evan was saying, we're very toothless. And I think this is a great counterattacking situation for Kamara to add that burst of pace down the wing. And just that gives a different, you know, dynamic and attack because for much of that first half, it was kind of slow passing.
It was
very little incisiveness,
but they were still creating opportunities, Max.
Sure, yeah. I just think Kamara would have been a good option because I think the reason Dekker Doveri dropped to the bench is because he was maybe nursing a knock after the Brighton match. And let's be honest, Dekker Doveri didn't play well at all, in my opinion. Missed two really clear cut chances, still our top scorer, mind you, but was not clinical. So, you know, maybe give it to someone else, but altogether, I think that's a strong side. That's one of our strongest starting 11s. But the two people who came in, Kearney and Mitrovic, I don't think played to their level, and it showed.
Okay, and that's a fair criticism. Steve, what was going through your mind when you saw the starting 11? And then, of course, right before the match, the change when Bobby Dekker Doveri comes in and Cavallero is dropped?
Yeah, I got confused because I was first watching the lineup come out, and I thought he was there, wouldn't he? And then the game started, and I was like, I saw him playing. I was just like, hang on a minute, what's going on here? I was like, have we made a sub? Because I literally missed the first, you know, several minutes. I was just like, okay, he's on the pitch. He's not on the bench. I was like, okay. Anyway, interesting. I was happy to see Dekker Doveri playing. I'm going to touch again on what Max was saying about Mitrovic. He's still looking off the pace, but I don't know if it's because he's not really getting a service because Robinson, although, you know, decent player for us, and I think he's still our starting left-back now, his quality of delivery isn't there. Same with the right flank. Without Kenny Tete at the moment, they're just quality of service is just non-existent. You know, the balls we put into the box, they either don't reach the player or they don't reach by the past the first man. We always know this from corners and set pieces and so forth. And it's just tiresome. You know, like we keep saying, you can't feed off nothing. You can't continually feed off scraps. So in terms of starting 11, I was happy to see Kearney and Mitrovic back. But for some reason, we need to try and integrate them better. Or if they just don't fit the style, we're going to have to find out whether long-term they are for us. You know, that's not anything on them. I don't want to see them leave. But if they don't fit the style, collect quite a bit of money for them and get the players that you want in. Interesting. I have a thought.
Now, listen, that's a very interesting thought, Steve, because I think they need a different type of striker in the January transfer window that fits the mold of how they're playing right now. And Mitrovic is a different type of striker. And does he slow them down, Steve? I don't know. Does he fit exactly how they're playing right now? I'm not sure about that. But what we've also seen from Parker is that he's willing to mix and match and change against the opponent. So maybe there are going to be plenty of opportunities where we play that feature Mitrovic in a style that fits him a lot better. The last match, maybe not so much. And in several matches, that's probably why he hasn't featured Steve. And then, of course, the fitness issue. Kearney's an interesting one, too. But again, I think it's a good problem to have for Scott Parker to fit all these players in. But I think it also shows, Steve, what you said, is that beyond Mitro, they don't have another option as a clear-cut striker that can get things done. And I think they need a striker with some pace. That's what I think.
Just anyone right now. I mean, I still go back to the classic. I go back to the classic Dwight Gayle sitting on the bench at Newcastle. Imagine the chances we create on the deck at the moment. I mean, that guy was poaching for fun. You know, even that guy who's signed for Brentford, Ivan Tony, I mean, he's poaching for fun there. I think some of the commentators were saying he's a Premier League striker.
Giannis mentioned him on a prior show.
That's exactly what Giannis said. Sorry, that was Giannis who mentioned it. Literally, he is a Premier League striker and he's proving it. He can finish that. That lad can finish. Yeah. He deserves his chance. And I think we couldn't go far wrong than splashing out a bit of cash on that player. But the problem is Brentford asking, for example, they got 33 odd million in add-ons for Watkins. Yeah. And then you look at Liverpool getting a player like Thiago for 20 odd million. I mean, there's a difference in ridiculous fees.
Right. Well, going back to Mitro and going back to the striker, I think they just need a different type of striker for Mitro. But I think Mitro needs to stay. I think Mitro scores. I just don't think that he is completely fit. And I think that's part of the issue, guys. That's my opinion, but we'll see what happens. Okay. Coming up next, guys, we are going to break down both halves and we'll end with man of the match. Okay, Max, over to you. I'm going to just talk about some key moments and then I will stop and we'll chat a little bit about it. And then we will end talking about the first half with your analysis. But let's start here. You know, it's funny, Max. Fulham start off with a very strange, quick opportunity for Mitro. He just takes a shot at the very beginning. And you have a good set piece a little bit later from Lookman. And then, as I wrote down in my notes, you have a header from Lookman in the 12th minute. You have a couple of opportunities from Bobby Decker Dover Reed. You have a header in the 28th minute that goes wide from Adebayo. So they were creating some opportunities. The one that really gets me was the opportunity from Bobby Decker Dover Reed. That really was a great opportunity that he just missed wide. That, to me, he needs to be on target and, dare I say, scoring. But that's going to lead to the goal, Max. I'll give you the honors of talking about the goal. And listen, I think Fulham earned this goal. I know it's an own goal, but just take us through the goal that gave Fulham the lead in the 42nd minute.
Yeah, and you mentioned Adebayo had a really nice header earlier on.
He did.
We could sense he was dangerous from set pieces.
Very much so.
On Saturday. And, you know, we don't score very often from corners. I think that might be our first goal off a corner all season.
Yeah.
But, you know, we see, why don't we do it more often? Because it's a really nice delivery. So often nowadays, corners are whipped in their post and rarely beat the first man. This one was nice, lofted, far post. Adebayo does really well to jump up and head it down in dangerous area. And that's all you have to do is put it in that mixer. Anything can happen. I think Deco Dover Reed actually does a nice job of getting out of the way of the ball because Matt Ritchie sees that very late. And I think that's what leads to the own goal, is that he's not expecting it. He sees it late, hits off his face. Of course, very fortunate, goes in. But as you mentioned, you went through listing all the chances we had in the first half.
Yeah.
Against a run of play, it was deserved, you know. Although it was a fortunate goal, I think we probably should have scored earlier than that. The Deco Dover Reed chance was big, but also he had one earlier when it got called back for the Anguissa foul, when he was 1-on-1 with Darlow and just kind of hits it right at him.
Yep.
So we were creating good opportunities. The one thing which stood out to me was we were playing really well attacking-wise, I think, but Mitro didn't have any shots apart from that first, second, essentially long shot.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Lookman getting the header in there and some other crosses going there, but it was odd because that's normally what Mitro thrives on. But
I know.
He was, for me, kind of coming back in the 18-yard box, you know, not really making those runs as normal. Something's not right with him. I think it has to be injury or just people are saying in the comments, lack of fitness. He hasn't played much really since August, you could argue. Okay. He just looks tired. And this is a match where I really thought it would be his bread and butter. We're having more of the ball, maybe putting in more crosses, but he wasn't in and around it as much as I expected him to be.
Okay, very good. All right, Steve, over to you. I want to get your thoughts on what was going through your mind at halftime. We'll call it halftime thoughts. So analyze the first half, and what were you thinking about Fulham going into the second half?
Our classic, we can't do a 90 minutes to save our lives. There's always going to be one half that's going to be worse than the other. Invariably, having not a bad first half, but only sort of getting the own goal and one up at halftime. Yeah. You can see what I was thinking at half time again, being the sort of glass half empty man that I am sort of probably 90% of the time.
I was going to say, you're glass 90%.
Yeah, I'm quite, I like to call it realistic, but maybe I am, maybe I'm not. But hey, it keeps coming back and biting us in the backside. You know, I was right to be thinking at half time because sure enough, 60 minutes, we've done something that's changed the game. We've got a red card, we got a penalty, conceded a goal, and then we're hanging on for dear life. When we should be really, well, like the Liverpool game, about 3-0 up.
Yeah.
And then we've conceded a silly penalty. And it is a silly penalty because...
Yes.
Because invariably, I can't guarantee it, but, you know, like the referees probably say, lads, keep your arms down in the wall. Don't raise your arms. Do this, you know, talking to the players. And, of course, what does he do? Flings his arms in the air. There we go.
Okay, we're going back to Liverpool.
I know, but it's just the silly things that we do, Russ, every single game, and we shoot ourselves in the foot. It's a bit like this one.
Well, we did in this one, and that's going to lead us to talk about the second half. Thank you, Steve, for transitioning us to second half.
You're welcome.
Of course. Well, you're wonderful like that, Steve. So let's just go right to it. Let's not waste any time. We've already talked a good amount about it. But I want to talk about the action beforehand. And Max, sorry, I put up the wrong graphic. Was it a penalty? So, but we'll talk about the whole action because I believe, really, as Emilio said to me, we could talk about the penalty. Was it the right call or not? But this started with an error on Fulham. So let's start there.
Yeah, first of all, I think it's a throw in from the right hand side. Aina, what is he doing in that position? So high up with so little cover. He slips, just kind of loses the ball, horribly exposed. And remember, he's one of our three center backs.
And I said, uh-oh, when that happened to myself.
It was a disaster waiting to happen because you should not be that far up the pitch when you're in the three center back position. I mean, if you're a white wing back, sure, but he's not. It was clear how, you know, outnumbered we were at the back, and it almost happened, you know, countless times in that second half when we went forward, left numbers back. And again, I think the main culprit here is Anderson. You have to be smarter in that situation. It's better to give up the scoring opportunity than it is to get yourself sent off. A goal is a blow, but it's not a fatal blow like a sending off can be. So to me, that just, I don't know. I mean, Anderson's been a great player for us this season, so I don't want to be too harsh on him, but he did cost us a match in many respects here. And we can talk about the referee, and we have done already, but
we've already gone there.
Which I don't believe that was a penalty. I think most of the contact, all the contact honestly happened outside the box.
That's what my eyes tell me, but others have shown me evidence that they believe it was inside. But
and then we get a penalty, and you know, we always seem to miss penalties, but other teams always score them against us. So that's a funny thing I was thinking of again.
Okay.
But you know, it is what it was. But again, after that, Newcastle didn't create much. And as you mentioned, Russ, if you want to be optimistic, we pressed on.
We did.
We were positive. So we'll take that away.
Okay, and I'll get to that in just a second. But, Steve, you've already touched on that, so you believe that this is a penalty. But through your eyes, your thoughts on everything that led up to it and what was going through your mind when you saw everything happen?
Well, touching on Aina, I think this has helped Tony Khan in the transfer window, because the first thing we can do is get Aina a new pair of boots from Mike Ashley's Sports Direct. Therefore, some studded boots and not blades, where he will not slip on the grass all the time. Therefore, that error doesn't occur. So,
good call,
so that's
Steve. Good.
So that's the first bit of transfer business, new pair of boots for Aina. And then we'll see how he gets on after that. So the penalty, I mean, we've touched on a lot of it. I'm just going to go straight to it. They're talking about a touch on the Achilles inside the box. Okay. And the problem you've got is, I think if the referee doesn't give it, there's not enough. It's not clear and obvious to give the penalty. But the fact that he's given it, it's not clear and obvious to overturn it.
So it's that gray area that you really can't. It's not 100%.
Yeah.
Which it needs to be, Steve, right? Is that your opinion? It needs to be 100% one way or the other.
Yeah, because obvious is clear and obvious is all of us sitting here, or let's say, I don't know, 500.
Yeah, it's 100%.
Room, I'll be honest, and we all say exactly the same thing.
I think most people have said that it wasn't a penalty.
Most.
Gary Lineker, these are not Fulham fans. These are just Match of the Day said it would look like a dive.
Yeah, but it did. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I've been
Steve,
probably
Steve. This was a dive. Come on, let's be honest here.
He's made the most out of it. You don't get trodden the Achilles like that and go down like that for me. But at the same time, he has. You know, I think he'd probably be the first to say I've made the most of it. But if he doesn't go down and he has been clipped, does he get the penalty? No. So he's got to try and make the most of it to try and get the penalty, ensure that the contact scene. So it's a really difficult one. I don't think it's not VAR's fault. It's not the referee's fault. It's just not clear and obvious to overturn once it's given.
But Steve, what about diving? Okay, because this was diving. This to me, that's clear and obvious.
It's a big problem at the moment. It's a really big problem. It's even a problem at lower levels of football as well.
And to be honest with you, and I want to say this because Emilio said this too, and I want to reemphasize this. Adamola Lookman dived too. Okay, so I have to say that. And Vitor flops all the time.
This is a false equivalency. If we won a penalty and got a player sent off and scored a winning goal because of a dive, that's completely fair game to bring that up in the show. But, I mean, I don't even know what situation you're talking about, Russ, and that means it's ridiculous to bring up. If we'd won a match based on a BS call, I'm the first to say it. But, come on, that's not what happened. That's ridiculous. That's just both sidesism for the sake of it. Lookman didn't win us. I don't even know where to begin with that logic. I don't know how we can say, oh, but Fulham did it too. Well, did we win the match off it? No. No. We're the victim.
Okay. I see where you're going on that. I just want to be fair on both sides on this because it does happen with Fulham too.
But we haven't benefited from it in the way other clubs have, in my opinion. Because look at Sterling and look at the Fabinho situation. Other people have benefited from calls in the way that we have in this season.
Max, okay. Can you just give me a minute to grab some popcorn while you guys are going at it, please?
I mean, Steve, don't grab your popcorn. Bag your referee whistle and your lines and flags.
Exactly. But I want to share this comment because look who this is coming from, okay?
Yeah, I'm telling you, Max.
Alan Shearer said it was a neutral people. Alan Shearer said it was a
dive. He's Mr. Striker. He loves strikers till his death. So, I mean, if he's giving the defender benefit of the doubt,
Alan Shearer, come on.
These are the same guys that don't understand the laws of the game in football. So I'm not
Premier League legend.
Come on, Steve.
I'll be honest. He's made a meal of it. He has. And I'll be surprised. You know, even if it was a penalty, you know, like even if he was touched, it was a penalty. Okay. Someone made a meal of it. I wouldn't be surprised if a referee turned around and thought, "Well, hang on a minute, he's made a meal of that." I'm not giving it.
Okay. I think the big thing here, though, is that Steve, you're saying you saw a situation where there might have been a touch. On the edge of the box with Achilles and Anderson's foot.
On the line. Just inside, yeah.
I just haven't seen the angle. I think Russ and I agree. I saw angles which showed there was no contact, and maybe that's just – but I think that's where I disagree.
It's got to be clear and obvious. I overturn a decision. It's not clear and obvious to say no, so he can't say it's not a penalty. Once he's given it, he's given it.
Okay.
That's the problem.
Okay. I think Steve doesn't need any more dues for the referees union this month, right, Max? Mm.
Well, listen to this. Colin Fraser in the comments says, the law of the game is that if the first contact is outside the box, it's a free kick there. Is that
incorrect? Incorrect.
Oh, wow. Well, so for example, law there. That's the decree. That's the verdict.
Wait a minute. This is incorrect?
Incorrect. So, for example, let's just take out the trip or anything. Let's say the holding started outside the penalty area and continued into the penalty area. It would be a penalty kick. You would not call it back to where he first started holding. You try and give them an advantage. If he keeps holding into the penalty area, you give the penalty kick because that is the advantage to the attacking team. So that is incorrect.
Wow. Okay. Very interesting stuff. Glad that we have Steve on. It's been an interesting discussion, but that's going to lead me now to talk about what happened afterwards. And I've already talked about it. So I want to hear both of you guys analyze the second half from the point that the match is now level at 1-1. Steve, to you first, your thoughts on how Fulham played after the red card, after they scored on the penalty. Your thoughts.
Summed up conservatively. That's one word. Anything else you need, Russ? Conservative. No, we've done all right. We did come out of the blocks. We were a bit conservative and obviously wanted to protect the point. But at the same time, you saw two or three decent opportunities where we're breaking forward.
Exactly. I don't think it was conservative.
No, we were a little bit to try and hold on to that point, but we did break out when we could in the counter. But
that's right.
Again, the problem comes back. We get the ball out wide. Lookman's having a go, but we don't know what to do with it because there's no option. There's nothing to do. We've got no one in the box who can do anything with it. That's the problem, you know. And obviously, Lookman gets crowded out, you know, on a couple of occasions. So what do we do? It just goes back to what we were talking about earlier: strikers.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, very good. Max, your analysis of after the incident, we'll call it the incident, how did you think Fulham played?
I think we showed respect for our own game, that we didn't sit back and just, you know, put 10 men behind the ball. We realized that, hold on, Newcastle have been poor all match. We should continue to try to play, you know, to win it, because it wasn't just hoofing the long balls and, you know, clearances. You're right. I mean, and Gisa had a chance where he dribbled in the box. There were certain periods of play when we were in their half. And I mean, I was nervous in the Leicester City match. I was nervous in the Liverpool match when we were hanging on to a late lead / tie. I was never once nervous in the last 30 minutes, which is saying something. You know, when you're down 10, you expect an absolute onslaught from the home side.
Yeah, where was the onslaught, Matt?
Yeah, I guess to show how poor Newcastle were. But again, we held firm. And, you know, maybe in the past season, we might have wilted and conceded the second goal. That, to me, I think is one of the biggest takeaways as well, is that Scott Parker has instilled a belief, but also a solidity in this team, because the soft underbelly we've had is gone.
That's totally gone. And that, to me, should be the biggest takeaway, along with what I said, talking about the second half performance after they gave up the goal there is that, you know, like I said, it's that solidity. There is no soft underbelly anymore, Max.
Yeah,
that's big. It's huge.
And I'm delighted about that. But so much of that, you know, delight is tempered by the fact that we were expected to push on after the unexpected results against Liverpool and Leicester, right? Those are two results in which we all sat in the pod here and people said on Twitter and on commentary on the TV, if Fulham play like that, they will not go down, right? If we play like we did against Leicester and Liverpool, we'll knock it out. Those performances have not been replicated. And that gives me worry because, yes, we're doing better defensively, but we haven't produced that same attacking energy. You know, we haven't risen to the occasion. And I worry that, you know, maybe we can play that way against the big sides when we have 2,000 fans in the stadium and not much is expected of us. But when the onus is on us to attack, we can't bring that same verve. And that's a concern. Hopefully I'm proven wrong, but we'll see against that Burnley match, you know, in a couple of weeks.
That's a good point there, my friend. All right. One final topic before we go to man of the match. And I should have said this before we went to analysis. So, Steve, I'll go to you first. I know your thoughts on this, but let's talk about it a little bit. Should Fulham have gotten a penalty at the end of the match? You know the incident we're talking about.
Okay. I'm interested to know what Colin's thoughts are on this. Because Colin, love you to bits, mate. I need to know whether you think that was a penalty or not, because I can tell you now that's not a penalty kick. I'm interested if you think it was, because it's a deflection onto his hand. His arms are not in an unnatural position that you can't give the penalty. I'm interested to see if Colin thinks it was a penalty, because this is a directive we're given. This is a directive. So if you think it was a penalty, I need you to go and see your trainer.
Okay, well,
he's going after the fans.
Here's another comment. This is for Max. Max, we can replicate those performances with Mitro and TC and the team. I think he could be right on that. And let's see what else he has to say. Anybody's guess, pal?
It's just a bit of banter. I'll go stand up for the penalty side here, because I think, I don't know. I mean, you said it's a deflection, but is that a natural position?
It's clear as day. It's clear as day.
But I don't know. I think let's talk about the Kamara situation. Yeah, his hands up, but it hits off him from very close range, and he doesn't know much about that. Now, I can see why it's not given a penalty, in the end, I will defer to Steve, but
do you not see the difference between Kamara's?
Well, that's why I'm glad we're talking about this.
There's a massive difference.
Well, Kamara put his hands up, for sure.
Kamara put his hands up, tried to save it.
The thing to me is, it hit off Adebayo first, right? It's not that Kamara's
gone. Steve, do you think that he was trying to block it, or do you think he was trying to protect himself because he was going to get hit in the face?
Is that the Newcastle guy, yeah?
I'm actually talking about Kamara going back to the Liverpool match.
Well, it doesn't care what he was doing. His arms just shouldn't have been up there, full stop. Yeah, possibly he wanted to protect his face.
See, that's what I think he was doing. I don't think he was trying to block it. I think he was trying to protect himself.
Yeah, but they're already informed. They're informed at the start of the season. They get told this stuff. They'll have seen this stuff. Do not put... Look at the other Fulham guys who were saying about putting their arms in front of their bodies, in front of their crown jewels, whatever. Just do not put it above your head.
Yeah.
And what does he do? Puts it above his head.
Well, again, going back to this decision, I didn't think Fulham deserved the penalty either, because I thought it was accidental, if you want to say. Right.
It's not a penalty. It's a clear directive. You're not given a penalty for that. If you're given that, if we had that against us, I'd be absolutely fuming. it's not a penalty.
Okay. And my friend Robin Pendrell, it was ball to hand, no penalty. And thank you for being honest on that. Very honest. And Colin, thank you for all of your messages. We just can't share all of them because you have been very active here in our little group here. So thank you very much. All right, guys.
Ross, yes. Can we just touch on Colin? Me and Colin having a bit of back and forth. I like it, Colin. We agree, disagree, bit of banter. But I agree with you at the moment, because we don't hear what's going on these major decisions with VAR. It's confusing a lot of people. And even myself as a referee, I'm sat there thinking, what are you giving it for? What are you doing? Can we make this clearer? So, yeah, just to, like I say, hear the decisions like they're doing rugby would be fantastic.
Okay. Very good there, Steve. All right, guys, let's end the show with man of the match. I'm going to tell you who my man of the match is right now. It was Mario Lemina. I thought he was fantastic. He was tackling everything. I thought he was all over the place, huge energy, and I thought he made a difference for Fulham. And I told Emilio that, because I know Emilio is still not sure about, has been very critical at times about Mauro Lemina, but even he thought he was man of the match. Max, who's your man of the match? Do you agree with me, or do you have another name you'd like to put out there?
Yeah, Lemina was up there for me. I think he showed his range on Saturday in terms of defensive tracking back, starting counterattacks, and even that really nice lofted through ball to Decadova Reed. Yeah, it's a really nice, classy touch there. I might actually say Anguissa, though, because
okay.
I think his powerful running was just amazing. He relieved so much pressure, even that second half. It just shows a progression, I think, of him, because I was a big critic of him, you know, back 2 seasons ago in the Premier League, because he'd try those dribbling situations outside his box and lose it. The difference this year is that he doesn't lose it anymore.
That's
and
right.
And seems just to, you know, have a better command of the ball, has more confidence capabilities, can just stride out of the back with the ball. And we also saw his attacking capability as well. I think he was putting in crosses, yeah. playing 1-2s in the box. Very impressive performance for me from Anguissa. And, you know, a lot of people are saying we won't have him for much longer. Hopefully that's not true, but the big boys will certainly be sniffing again.
Well, Fulham just need to say no, because they need Anguissa. I was actually just asked about him on a show that will actually be a podcast. You'll probably be able to see it tomorrow, the EPL Roundtable, where I was asked about what player that I think Fulham need to get a new contract in, and I said it would have to be Frank Anguissa. That was the person I think that Fulham need to invest even more in, because I think he's that valuable. So I get where you're going on. Before I go to you, Steve, just keep the comments coming on Man of the Match, and I'll share them as well. Steve, Man of the Match.
So it's toss up for three for me. Lemina had a good game, but one game doesn't. I know it's all about this one game for in terms of Man of the Match, but one decent game doesn't make a player for me. He's still hit and miss. I'd like to be a bit more, but he was really good. Anguissa, even if he's not having a good game for us, it proves he actually does want to play for us.
He does.
He's willing to put in the shift. He's a bit of an ox. I'm actually purely going to go for, I'm going to pronounce it wrong now, Tosin Adebayo.
Did a very good job there, Steve.
Simply because the thing that wins it is his age for me. These other guys are fairly experienced. He's not as experienced, and he's come straight into a Premier League team this year that he knows he's going to be fighting towards a bottom.
And he looks very comfortable.
And yeah, and I did criticise him for switching off a little bit on the Sterling goal for Man City, because I thought he should be covering. But again, credit where credit's due. For his age, he's going to learn from that, and we can already see he's learning from it. Don't kill me next week, Tosin. Don't kill me.
Okay, I'm going to share some comments on Man of the Match. Robin Pendrell, definitely Lemina, Russ. I'm glad you agree with me. Let's see, my friend Chris says, I'm sticking with Anguissa for Man of the Match. And our friend Colin, Lemina, Anderson, also superb up to sending off. Steve, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Anderson was decent. I also thought it was a good shout for Jarlo as well. Is he still with us? Is he still with Steve. Us? I'm genuinely not
He's
sure.
left like 2-3 years ago.
Did he? Oh, he just went out into the wilderness. Did we even announce that he left? Who's he playing for now? Barcelona?
Oh, Steve. Steve. Real Madrid? Come on, Steve. Steve thinks he's a comedian. Steve, come on.
No, I'm a terrible comedian. I'm terrible. Well, I'll give it a good go. Bad jokes all around. Seriously, I didn't even... No, this is a genuine thing. I didn't actually know he left. But I knew he hadn't been around team sheets in the under-23s or anything. There's just nothing really said about him, I don't think.
No, he kind of just disappeared.
Not totally an excuse. My dad keeps asking me where Aite is almost every week.
Oh,
Floyd.
Oh, no.
Because, Giannis.
Please don't say, because now you're going to get Giannis now messaging about Floyd Ayite. Please don't do that, Max. Okay.
I'm not being funny. Caviero is not as good as Floyd Ayite in my book, but that's just my book. Come on, Giannis, chime in.
Oh, man. Okay. All right, guys. I do want to wrap it up. I want to get final thoughts from both of you. First to you, Steve. Final thoughts before we wrap up the show.
Striker in January, please.
Striker in January.
Maybe two.
Maybe two. Wow. Yeah. How about you, Max? Final thoughts before we go.
Brighton, Newcastle, 2 points in the possible six. It's not good, is it? So we're going to need some big performances coming in the festive period. I think it's Southampton, Spurs, Burnley. That's our next three. What do we think from how many points? You know, definitely minimum three. Can we nick a draw? I don't know. Spurs are in poor form, but listen, we need that combination of big performances against big teams and gritting out a win against, you know, the teams around us. So, I mean, that Burnley match will be I don't want to say 6-pointer. I think a 12-pointer, in my opinion, because that will set the tone. So, you know, listen, we need Mitrovic firing. Everyone's talking about a new striker. It would be nice, of course, because we have no depth, but I really think this team's success will run through Mitro, but he's not quite the man for the system at the moment. He needs to do some soul-searching work on his finishing because he's not going to get all the crosses, but if he can play on the counter and just try to get in the box quicker, he needs to work on that, and then I think we'll be set. But until then, maybe we do have to buy someone in January.
Okay, very good. All right. And I'll just leave this with my friend Chris Davidson, Spain striker in January, agrees with Steve on that. Okay. My final thought actually involves all my friends in London, all my friends in England, and dealing with the pandemic. We're obviously dealing with it all over the world, and a lot of my friends in London dealing with going to Tier 4. And I'm just thinking about all of you and just hope you stay healthy. And I want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas all around the world, but I'm really thinking about my friends in London who, again, are going to have a different kind of Christmas, and I'm thinking about you, so I just wanted to end talking about that. Okay. Great show, guys, but let's wrap this up. For Steve Lydiard, the referee, and Max Cohen, Mad Max, I'm Russ Goldman. I have no other thing to say about myself. Thank you, as always, for watching and listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDonald's share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.